the rest of the story. Of course, Harry was neither a promoter nor a fundraiser. He was a poet. A poet in the Yale graduating class of 1920. Three young men were unanimously regarded as outstanding poets: Thornton Wilder, Stephen Vincent Benet, and Harry. So you will understand that when the shy, soft-spoken, sincere young gentleman went looking for backers for his new literary project, the prospective investors were unimpressed. For example, Harry approached the former Yale professor, William Lyon Phelps, who advised it would be impossible to make a financial success of the venture. Then Harry somehow got in to see the renowned editor and critic H.L. Mencken, who listened quietly to a description of Harry's folly and then concluded it'll never work. Nobody will read it. Harry even managed to meet with newspaper magnate William Randolph Hearst, offering him a percentage of the profits in exchange for financial assistance, but Hearst declared that he was not interested. So, it appeared the young poet would have to abandon his dream. And then Harry recalled the mother of a former classmate, a Mrs. William L. Harkness of Cleveland, Ohio. And she was interested in investments in the stock market in particular. Well, this was not exactly the stock market, but on the chance that Harry's literary project might intrigue Mrs. Harkness, he arranged to visit with her. And there in her living room, the young man made the pitch of a lifetime. The reasons his venture was important, the reasons that it would sell, and finally Mrs. Harkness raised her hand. "That'll do," she said. "That'll do. You may put me down for $20,000. Well, Harry was flabbergasted. Other investors, the few he had found, had agreed to nickels and dimes by comparison. $20,000 in those days was an astounding figure in any context. But Harry did not question his good fortune. He eagerly accepted Mrs. Harkness' offer, and he launched his literary project, and he made publishing history. For Harry's folly, the idea in which at one time only he believed was a weekly reprint of the past week's news under topical headings, a magazine scoffed at by the biggest names in journalism. Of course, you know the risky publishing venture of Harry Henry Luce as Time Magazine. But you still don't quite know the rest of the story. For you see, the Time Magazine investor who made the difference back in 1923, Mrs. Harkness of Cleveland, was hard of hearing, profoundly hard of hearing. But her pride was such that she did not tell Harry. What I'm saying is that she knew he wanted her to invest money in something. But she did not know what the investment was about. She hadn't the slightest idea. As a matter of fact, 6 years later, dear Mrs. Harkness would lose practically everything in the Wall Street crash. But she was supported in her old age by her investment in Time Magazine. And all because once upon a time she sat in her living room with a sweet, sincere-looking young man, without hearing a word that he said, she trusted what she saw in his eyes. And now you know the rest of the story.